When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at SenecaPolytechnic.ca.
It's time for The Drive on TSN 1200, sending you home with everything you need to know about sports. Now with Graham Creech, here's Lee Versage.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Drive here on TSN 1200. Hope you're having a good Tuesday afternoon. Lee Versage, Graham Creech, Matt Conesvita with you for the next 4 hours in studio. Looking forward to the program. Get into a lot of different things here today. Graham Creech, what's going on?
Not too much. Happy to be here. Always nice to have a win to come off of rather than a loss. Not for you, I guess.
I didn't say that.
Well, you shrugged when I said that, so.
Doesn't really matter.
But no, it was a good night. Canadian Tire Center last night. Fans brought it. Brady's better chance. Lots of good feelings, good vibes.
Is he better? I like the way Brady answered afterwards.
I predicted that. Honestly, I don't mean to pat myself on the back or anything.
We even introduced you, he patted himself on the back.
It's just because Bakes last night immediately called him on patting himself on the back.
He
it was
did?
It was
that's
hilarious.
That's why I said that.
I didn't even think Creech was patting himself on the back
you.
When he brought it up.
No.
But Bakes immediately was like, look at you.
Me and Bakes had a good show.
Oh, it was
night.
Tremendous.
Lots of
loves listening on the drive.
JB1200.
Yeah. He was like in that fried state. He had the energy and was doing it. But like, you know how when you've been up all day.
When people are overtired and they're not thinking clearly, sometimes it's just, they got some energy, but it's not a lot of clear thought.
No, he had clear thought. I'm not saying that. I just, it was fun. But I was just saying, cause I'm like, you know, Brady, every time he's asked about something, if it's not going the right way, or if someone's pointing out his great play, like he boosts his teammates or his family members up.
He deflects all the time when it's about him.
So I told Biggs, I'm like, this is what's going to happen is he's going to acknowledge the crowd and then he's going to pump up Matthew's tires. And then Tim Stutzla did like the same thing. But ended with, Brady's my guy though. I'll go with Brady. And I'm just, you can feel, and Stutzla obviously has this in himself, but just the presence of a Brady Tkachuk and Claude Giroux in that locker room, like you can just feel the impact that it would have on the entire group. It was a great night last night. It was lots of laughs. You know what else happened that you didn't like? So you didn't like that there was a win.
It's not.
There was also a meow.
Was there really?
Of course. The Brinkett scored.
I know, but does it have to be every time? I guess it does. It's a shtick.
Tkachuk is on the ice. Everybody's out. Here's Shabbat. There's a shot that's blocked by Staal, and Brady Tkachuk gets it back to Stutzla. Stutzla along the boards. Wheels it low. Centering pass. Batherson gets it across to Brinkett. Scores! The one-timer from the Cat makes it 3-1 Ottawa.
Meow! I can't help but laugh every time.
Oh, he really sunk his teeth into that one,
he
too.
He loves it, eh?
That's the first time I've heard that today.
Meow!
You know what, Gordy? It's a decent stick. Not my favorite thing in the world, but hey, I'm not a lot of people's cup of tea either.
No,
you know, Graham?
I'd say 90% of the people that texted in last night loved it.
Yeah,
and 10% were like, I hate it. I want to vomit when I hear it.
I don't feel that strongly.
People
about
like
it.
give a lion's roar instead.
I just wish, unfortunately, across the season, that he would have been a little bit better. That's all. I think if he were one of the more dominant players, I wouldn't have as much of an issue hearing it. I think some of it's been not so good for DeBrincat.
Well, last night was certainly good.
It was.
Tim Stutzla, that stick handling in a phone booth along the boards under pressure, And then that pass that Batherson made, and then actually where Bakes and I were on the exact same page. We both thought when DeBrincat scored the way he did there, like that's the goal I pictured him scoring when the trade was made. Like that's how I view Alex DeBrincat. That he buried 100%. That.
That's a really good point. That is kind of how you picture him scoring goals in this league. You and Jamie Baker, eh? The boss and Jamie Baker.
Now he's worked with everybody.
Yeah. Well, JB1200 had a good day yesterday. What'd you think about the rest of the day?
The day?
Yeah.
Oh, like get Bettman?
Well, just as everything unfolded, right? Like, he was on with Steve Lloyd.
Steve Lloyd smashed it.
Did he ever? And then, but Darren Dreger gave him props, so we don't need to continue to give him props over and over and over again. I did text him and tell him what a good job he did.
I told him in person.
Because he did do a good job. He did a fantastic job. But then the whole Gary Bettman press conference with the media, the game, how people felt about it afterwards. Like, what did you make of yesterday? Because the mayor talked, Gary Bettman talked. Do you feel that we're closer? Do you feel a little bit? Like, for me, I came across a little bit disappointed because I know it's going to take time. Like, I understand the process is not an easy process. I guess for me, it just was like, okay, I'm really excited about the future of the team. I really hope they can get this done before some of the things that start to matter for next year, that people are in place. And I don't know if that's going to happen, listening to the commissioner yesterday. So that was just a...
That's just not my takeaway. I think...
He's right, though. Like, that it matters more about getting it right than the timeline.
I viewed yesterday as just positive. And we had this discussion during the show before his one-on-one with Steve Lloyd and then meeting the media about an hour and a half later. I don't think we were expecting a ton because it's a process that's sealed pretty tight, and he's not going to speculate on things, as he has made very clear.
Very
clear. And so I took it as positive with the quote of him saying this is among the most vibrant processes I've ever seen. That was awesome to hear, especially considering like the history of this market, like when he's typically speaking about the Ottawa Senators and the state of the franchise. Like, it's turned around big time. And to hear that with all the sales that he's had to deal with, this is the most vibrant process that he's ever been a part of or seen is like, that's, I don't know. For me, my takeaways were just good news, and I wasn't expecting any bombshell to be dropped because it, as he's stated several times, it's going to be a sealed process. That's the way I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, what were you expecting yesterday?
I wasn't expecting anything. I went in with zero expectations. I think everything that's happening in this market is a really good thing, from whoever's going to own the team to where it's going to go in the future and who's going to be involved. I think there's a lot of positives in the next while. Really do. Now, I just don't necessarily, and maybe I've been around listening to Mr. Bettman for too long, I just don't necessarily believe everything that he says. And so, well, he called it the most vibrant process. And do I believe that there are around six bids? Yeah, I think that's awesome. I really don't care if it goes for $1.1 billion or $1 billion or $970 million. I don't really care. I know they care. And I'm sure they care because why? The team's... They have a vested interest in making the most money they possibly can. The National Hockey League, not just for the rest of the owners, but for themselves. I think it's quite clear along the way, they've helped out the Ottawa Senators in some different spots. So they've helped out a lot of teams. That doesn't mean, I'm not just talking about Ottawa. They've helped out a lot of different teams. So when they talk so glowingly about this process, they have a very vested interest.
Yeah, but we know the amount of interest. Like, we know that it's very attractive, and there's a number of people pursuing it.
Right.
So
that's true.
And I'm comparing that to where this franchise was once at.
Yep.
So it's only positive for me, even if he's not completely telling the truth, like you say, or whatever. It doesn't matter to me, whatever. Like, it, as I said, I wasn't expecting him to reveal too much because it's an ongoing process, and he stated that they're not even really a part of right now. Like, they were asked several times about if they had a preferred bidder or if they would like to see people hook up from multiple bids, or if it's important that they have local, like, they were asked several different, he was asked several different ways about that process. And he stated that, like, once they get to that stage, they will have obviously their feelings, but it's up to the group and the Melnicks making that decision. So I just wasn't expecting, I guess, too much else.
How much do you make of the continual talk that LeBreton Flats is not the only site?
Well, it's just facts, right? And why commit and say, yep, this is for sure where it's going, and overplay your hand rather than, I love how the mayor put it yesterday. I'm just stating facts. When he was asked that very question.
Yep. Yeah, he was grilled
could
on
remain it. Here. He could go somewhere else.
He was grilled on it about just talking about city spots as opposed to private spots. But of course he would only talk about,
well, you can't
places. Yeah. He would
can't
never
speculate about privately owned buildings or land or whatever. Yeah. So I
thought he was very clear.
Yeah.
Do you think that could work going other places? Like, I guess you can make a lot of different places work.
Well, I think it's going to be LeBreton. I just think that they're not publicly stating it, that,
right,
that's for sure going to be the case. I think that's pretty obvious.
What was the feedback last night? Was it all about the game, or was it?
Oh, 100%. 100%. There was no mention in the postgame about Bettman.
Well, I'll be interested to see how people feel today, the day after the commissioner rolled into town, called it courtesy calls with the mayor and the NCC. Probably a little bit more than that, but that's the way he wanted to frame it. I heard him in a number of different interviews say the exact same line about how they were just courtesy calls. And
got a couple of meaningful game quotes from the commissioner yesterday too, both with Lloydy and in his press conference, dropping the meaningful games.
Yeah. Look, I get it. He came in and said that the one thing that bothered me the whole day was him saying about
you seem a little bit bothered today. Is it because it's a Tuesday? Am I experiencing my first Leaver Tuesday?
No,
here?
It's a nice day outside. Okay, okay. We have Ian Mendez on the show.
Oh, that's terrific.
We have Colin McKenzie.
Nice.
Goaltender for the 67s.
Pumped up about the playoffs.
On the show. No, we got a great crew here. Great day. No, feeling good.
Got the Bundy energy in the newsroom.
Well, he just walked in. I mean, the whole newsroom lit up when he walked in for a shift.
So he's going to be hiding people's shoes.
I know, exactly.
Who knows what else?
I didn't love the commissioner saying yesterday that the team was performing above most people's expectations. That's just not true. Like, I was listening to it going, Mr. Bettman, I would very much disagree on that the team is outperforming the expectations of where they thought they were going to be.
I don't mind your point there, but I would say if you went and looked at people's predictions for the team outside of Ottawa, most people will predict them to be like bottom three of the conference, I think.
After the Giroux and DeBrincat and Talbot and all of those things, they still predicted that?
I don't remember seeing anybody outside of Ottawa predict they'd make the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you what, the over-under for Vegas was 86.5 points.
Okay.
Okay, they're at 77. So, how many games they got left? Is it 9?
I think it's 8 or 9 games left.
Okay, they basically have to go .500 to meet the expectation of what Vegas thought they were going to go. Right? So.
Yeah, it's 8 games left.
So they need 10 points in 8 games to even by half a point outperform what people thought. And that's after the win last night. I don't think they've outperformed what the expectations were for the Ottawa Senators. So that little one bothered me a little bit. But they are playing meaningful games through the trade deadline and the beginning of March. For sure they are. They still believe it. They're still acting like it, and they're still playing hard, because in some of the losses, the loss in Boston, the loss in New Jersey, you know, they play hard. And they've beaten Tampa. They've beaten Florida. So, yeah, they had a bad stretch of 6 of 7 that basically put them out of reach of the playoffs. But they are still, I think, putting the effort through. So for them, playing meaningful games, and now we're closing in at the end of March, I think that's accurate for them. I also like Tim Stützle last night. A little hard on himself.
What'd he say? I'm terrible?
I'm terrible. Multiple times, I think. I've been terrible. And then, you know, Brady was asked about it, and he's like, well, he hasn't been terrible at all. But the way that Tim Stützle has grown this year.
He has such high expectations on himself.
Yeah. But the way that he has grown this year in his game and on and off the ice is probably the biggest positive, maybe on the entire team for me. Like, he has grown with the Josh Norris injury. If Josh Norris was here, would Tim Stützle have gotten to be the number one center? Maybe. Halfway through the year? Maybe. But what he's had to do and who he's had to go up against and the compete level that he has had to see each and every night being this team's number one center and it like not even being close down to number two right now. He has grown up so much. He has been, I mean, the kid is just a superstar. And now listening to him, he's acting like a superstar. I don't need to hear that he's been terrible every night, but you understand that that's him being really hard on himself.
And look at the lineup of center icemen that he's played over that stretch of a couple of weeks. Like, it's, and that's what the NHL is. And you have to, that's what you have to do and overcome to be a good player, to be a superstar player. But it almost hasn't been a night off with Bergeron, McDavid, Dreisaitl, McKinnon, Matthews.
It's incredible.
I don't know if I said Bergeron or not yet. Stamkos Point.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Every night he's had to go up against somebody.
Barkov.
That is.
A superstar.
Right. Like a clear number one center superstar on their team.
And while we're on that discussion, Jake Sanderson has too. And the way he's impressed with those assignments, insane.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good multiple choice question for a late pregame show.
Do you have one before Sunday? A pregame show?
No.
Yes. Then I'll be using it Sunday.
You don't even do them.
I'm doing one on Sunday.
You're going to do a multiple choice.
Yeah, why not?
Because you haven't done one all year. Yeah. Actually, you kind of did one.
I kind of did.
You quizzed people on... On the player poll. The player poll.
Yeah.
And it wasn't met with, upset you were asking without.
Didn't go over as well.
Maybe that's why we haven't seen your poll around.
It's true. Ugh. But it feels like Sunday. Maybe I can.
I'll just say I smashed it when Lloydy asked me when it came out an hour before.
Yeah. The player poll.
Yeah. Vassal. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. Sunday. No.
Time's Puck Drop on Sunday?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, so 4 o'clock pregame?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'll be in my car on my way to Bill Burr around the time you do multiple choice, probably.
Okay. I might frame it a little bit differently. Like, don't hold me to multiple choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will ask.
You're going to do some kind
sort of question.
Yeah, yeah.
Simmer will not be expecting it. I mean, rolling in from his vacay, wherever he is, he's Cancun or wherever he is. I think he gets in the next day, and he'll be doing the game with me. So he won't see it coming. Nobody will see it coming. You got to give the people something on a Sunday against Columbus.
I do feel, though, like those season-long types of questions you should save until, like, the last game of the year, though. I don't know if you should be able to do them right now.
Yeah. Well, I might not get another opportunity, Graham. So I'm going to just take my opportunity when it comes on Sunday. Because you could always have the shift back on Sunday, which you probably don't want.
I'm declining.
So I'll just take, I'll accept the shift and say, you know what? I'll take it as an opportunity on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. We got some other stuff to get to as well. Like you said, it's an all-day ticket giveaway for the Ottawa 67s. Incredible. So before 3 o'clock, we'll give somebody else tickets to go see the Ottawa 67s in playoff action. Coming up Thursday night and then Sunday afternoon. Games 1 and 2. And we'll talk to goaltender Colin McKenzie. Just after 3 o'clock, Ian Mendez from The Athletic will join us at 4:30. And you, over the text box, 12-1200. Lever Sage, Graham Creech, Matt Konizvita here on The Drive on TSN 1200.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive, Lever Sage, Graham Creech. Well, Konizvita started hot, cooled off considerably in the first hour, but that's okay.
You were too fired up. Needed to cool you off a little
bit. All right,
bit.
I'm cooled off considerably, Matt. Thank you for helping with that.
Just playing one of the... maybe the greatest band of all time in the history of music.
Yep. I would agree.
Oh.
I don't love them, but hard not to say how great and influential they are.
I wasn't expecting that.
Well, come on. Like, I can have an opinion on not loving everything that they do, but still recognizing that they're pretty much the most influential band of all time. Right? Like, it's hard not to say that.
That was the Monkees, right?
Yeah. Oh, creature.
Need to get you in a good mood. There was a couple people outside the studio. Lee greets them with yells and threats. I greet them with fist bumps and smiles.
I didn't yell or threaten. That's just not true. I was just wondering if the rest of us go... and talk at very high levels right outside.
I honestly didn't notice anything.
I noticed it.
While we were on the air?
Yes. So I just let them know. That's all.
I'll put you in a good mood right now.
Excellent.
You're going to talk WrestleMania tonight.
Yes.
There you go.
I am. I'm excited.
Good for you.
How can you not be? I was really pumped up last night. And Matt, I'm not sure if it's out yet, but it probably, if it's not, will be out soon.
I'm working on it as we speak.
I knew you might have been.
I've got a brand new computer, so yeah. I'm trying to track down all the passwords that were saved on the old one.
Oh, yeah?
I even let LVJ know. Like, I'm working on it.
Well, he knows that you're working on it, best in the business.
I'm working on it, and it's in the late stages of being posted right now. But, CM Punk sounds off on AEW again.
So I got home last night, Graham, and I know Kenny was having problems with his voice. I was having some problems with my voice last week, but all recovered. Like, over the weekend was like, okay, I'm good to go. Came in yesterday, and like by the last hour, like 3 hours, I'm like, kind of losing my voice again. Yeah.
I didn't notice.
And got home, I'm like, I don't know. Got a podcast to record. This is wrestling. Kind of told Zach McGibbon and Tanner Ryle, who joins us every now and again. Tanner used to work here, doesn't anymore, but goes to every single local show here. So one of the C4, the local wrestling organization, had a event on Friday, so Tanner joins us when they're in town. And I was like, guys, I'm not going to have much left here. You guys are going to have to carry it. Zach then stepped up, Matt Graham, and said, well, it wouldn't be any different from the previous 174 episodes. I'm like, we're on episode 175? And you think you've carried all of them? Got completely fired up, hour and a half, CM Punk, AEW, WrestleMania, everything. Local shows, and This Is Wrestling, the podcast, will be out. Am I allowed to say within an hour?
Oh, it's going to be a matter of minutes now.
Fantastic.
You'll be able to find it, actually, if you let me keep talking here for, like, I'm just adding some...
It's all good, Matt. Whenever it happens, it happens. You're actually producing the drive show right now, so I totally understand. But anyway, it'll be out soon. The first of two. And I get to talk wrestling again tonight. So, how can you not be pumped up? And you know what actually put me in a good mood? Because if an Ottawa senator had done this, I would have been like, I just don't understand sometimes. But I brought this up to you in the break. Made me smile that other teams go through this as well. The Florida Panthers are living and dying with every point right now that they need to try and get into the playoffs. And they started the night 3 points back of a playoff spot. They're down 3-2. They get a goal to get back within one. It's four. They're 4 minutes to go. And Lindell, taking a faceoff in the Ottawa zone, gloves the puck back with his hand out of the faceoff dot. And gets a penalty, and Ottawa scores.
Fast forward a couple minutes later, enter Travis Hamonic, the PPQB specialist, over to Tim Stützle. And your season's
the PPQB specialist. I love it.
I was interested by how close they were to not calling the penalty. Because initially, they were going to hold the face-off at center ice after a hand pass. Because they blew the whistle dead and the ref motioned hand pass. And I was working with Doug Plagans, the voice of the Panthers. And he was telling me in the commercial break or after the game, that's not a penalty you see called very often unless it's blatant. And yeah, I can't find any fault with the refs on that one. That was blatant. But they originally were going to drop the puck at center ice. And they figured it out. And it's funny because was it the game in Jersey where DJ argued for a penalty and got the penalty?
Yeah.
And so now it feels like that's two in a row where the refs have given a penalty that maybe they weren't going to initially.
Because from where we're standing, that's the far face-off dot on our side. So it's like I didn't see the hand pass.
Yeah.
But what I knew there was the penalty because the second it happened, Giroux just skated to the bench. Knowing like PP1 was going on and it was a power play. I Bakes and I were commenting that. Like he knew what was going on. That was a power play coming up for Ottawa and they end up increasing their lead to 4-2.
I can't even imagine trying to be a coach in that spot like Paul Maurice was and having my player do such a dumb thing in a big spot and then you get scored on the power play. Like, how Lindell went back to the bench? Like, what do you even say?
It shouldn't be that surprising because, he didn't go back to the bench. He went to the box. After that, yeah.
No, I meant the goal. Like, after they scored the goal.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It shouldn't be surprised because they're clearly a very flawed team with their blue line. Even before dealing Mackenzie Weegar, I thought that it needed improvement. Removing him created a massive hole back there, the goaltending situation as well. But they looked like they were going to be the team to get the spot, like to knock out Pittsburgh.
Yep.
The way they were playing. They've lost four in a row now. And do they have the ability to turn it on? Of course they do. They have the ability to score lots of goals. They also have the ability to give up a ton. I know it's only they remain 3 points back. Pittsburgh has a game in hand, and Pittsburgh's been struggling along to get to the finish line as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, I'm just not feeling Florida being able to wrestle that spot from somebody at this
point. How do you watch them? Yeah, they lost to the Leafs, and they lose to Tampa. I know they lost to the Rangers 4-3. They got out to a lead and lost to the Rangers. No, they lost to Philly. They gave up 6 to Philly. They gave up 6 to Toronto. One was empty net, but they gave up 5 last night.
And 4 to the Rangers.
And 4 to the Rangers.
And, like, that's a good Ranger team.
Oh,
that's,
sure.
That's feeling it right now. Toronto obviously is good, but yeah. The way they defend or don't defend is alarming. Matt Tkachuk, the season he's having is insane. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe he spent a majority of his season away from Barkov as well. Like, it's not like mm-hmm. they've been loading up and you have two elite players playing there. Like, he's driving the line. Not on his own, but he's driving the line, and he's what a season he's having. But these guys had defensive issues before, and they certainly didn't help them over the offseason. And they're the closest team with lots of firepower, but the way they play and defend, I'm not seeing it.
For those, and I watched the broadcast on television, and you were at the rink, so you wouldn't necessarily have seen this. As they were coming back into from a TV timeout, they played this clip of Paul Maurice talking at his introductory press conference, like when he got the job. And I don't know if it was like 1 minute after, but it wasn't that far removed. They played the clip of, you work your butt off all year long so that when you get into the middle of adversity, you have a chance to get out of it and come out on the other side and be a team to be reckoned with, because you put yourself in a spot, you've gone through some adversity, and now you're a better team because you've handled the adversity. And that's the team that we want to be. And he's talking about this like in last summer. We want to be a team, and my whole mandate is to go out there and make sure that it's not going to be perfect and we're going to have some troubles, but my job is to make this team and navigate them through the adversity so that they feel on the other side, when we do come out of it, that we're going to be a better team for it. And like 2 minutes later, Lindell's slapping the puck with his hand in the faceoff dot, down a goal on the road. And a non-playoff team scores another power play goal and makes it even that much harder for Florida to get out of this. And it's like, your team right now, with what's going on and off the ice, they're doing anything but handling adversity. They're doing the opposite of handling adversity right now. They're close to be putting them in the spot to not be able to get out of this and to be a non-playoff team. And while I didn't think Florida could be as good as last year, I did not think they would be a team outside of the playoffs looking in. How would anybody have thought that? They finished number one in the league, and they lost to Tampa, and they made a change because they didn't like necessarily the makeup. So they did something to switch them up. I give them a lot of credit for that. They changed the coach, and they made a big trade up front. Well, the guy they brought in, as you said, has been their best player, right? Matt Tkachuk's not even close. He's their best player.
He's probably the MVP after McDavid.
Right. And so that's the guy you brought in that shook things up. And you still aren't even good enough to make the playoffs? There's some big issues.
Yeah, I know they don't have any first round picks for a few years, and they've dealt a lot of assets away in trying to put themselves over the top before this current offseason, or this past offseason. But I still, and I take Matthew Tkachuk over Jonathan Huberdeau any day, but you're still trading 200-point players for each other. Like, I just feel like, obviously, it's what was required to get the deal done, but I just feel like adding Mackenzie Weegar to that is just a gross overpayment. Like, is there not another way you could have made the deal happen without removing your best or one of your best defenders? I guess not, because that's what made the deal happen. But from Calgary didn't have any leverage either, right? Like, they knew that Matt Tkachuk was not going to sign long-term there. And you trade 200-point players for each other and get Mackenzie Weegar. And then obviously Florida didn't address the position. Man.
Brutal. And watching that team, I know it's only one game, but now that it's four in a row, and watching them last night, you watch them and you're like, yeah, that team's not doing anything. Even if they make the playoffs. If they somehow made the playoffs, that is too flawed of a hockey team to be able to do anything.
Well, and even if they weren't flawed, like I don't see any team in round one beating Boston.
Yeah, I don't either, but it doesn't mean Boston's necessarily going to go on and win. Like, I think
I'm just saying, like, when you said you don't expect Florida to do anything, Florida against Boston is a complete and total mismatch. Like, so is Pittsburgh against Boston. So I just don't see. That's my point.
Right.
I don't think anyone saw Columbus beating Tampa that year.
No, they didn't. It was a weird year, but they didn't. You're right. I mean, upsets can happen in the playoffs, but I would take a Crosby and a Malkin and, you know, you never know if Tristan Jarry could get hot. Over Florida.
Agreed.
That's all. And that doesn't mean Pittsburgh's like, oh, they're going to upset them. And I love Pittsburgh, but
we just got to avoid the black, yellow, and white jersey matchup.
That's a good point by you. Don't need black, yellow, and white against black, yellow, and white.
No.
You know what? Stuff to ponder over the break. Matt Consvito, another look at your traffic and weather. You're on The Drive on TSN 1200.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's open house on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
Welcome back to The Drive. Lever Sage, Graham Creech, Matt Conisvita, and the Ottawa 67s and the Oshawa Generals. Game one Thursday night at the Slush Puppy Center in Gatineau. And it's there because of the curling. If you didn't know previously, the men's world's curling championships are at TD Place April 1st, which is Saturday through the 9th. And that's why the 67s are starting on the road. It's the all-day ticket giveaway. So how about this? It's $250. You have until $254 on the text box at 12-1200 to tell us simply who is joining us at 3:05 coming up this afternoon on The Drive. It is a member of the Ottawa 67s, and I did mention it at least once. Possibly twice.
And I will ask, include your full name and email address in your text if you want to win.
Full name and email address. You heard Matt Conisvita. If you don't have it,
I'm lazy. Give me the information I need and you've got a chance to win.
No, you're just making the rules and people need to abide by the rules. That's it. It's your contest, Matt. We're just here to deliver it. All day 67's ticket giveaway. Your chance right now. You have until 2:54. On the clock. To deliver the name on text, full name and email of who is joining us at 3:05. It is a member of the Ottawa 67s. Going to be quite a week next week. You got I know Brad Gushue's on TSN Mornings tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah. Looking forward to that interview.
When do they arrive? Thursday? Is that what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or no, I think they arrive tomorrow night.
Okay.
And then apparently they have a spa day or something on Thursday.
Not bad. Could use a spa day.
Well, Jeff Stoughton was talking about
the coach. Yeah.
And I even said in the interview, I don't think Jeff Stoughton's heard of Lynn Nordique, but I think the other guys have. They need to get ready to go for the men's worlds. Kerry Anderson did win bronze, by the way, last weekend. at the Women's World Curling Championships. So looking forward to that being a TD place all week long. And then, of course, the Ottawa 67s and the Oshawa Generals at the Slush Puppy Center Thursday night, Sunday afternoon. So text in 12-1200, full name and email. You have about a minute and a half left to get that text through. Who's going to join us at 3:05?
Here's your play, Lee.
Yeah. So we're watching the replay of the Florida Panthers and Lindell taking the faceoff against Claude Giroux, who knew it.
Yeah, watched 28 in black.
The referee, right outside of the blue line, pointed to it like glove pass, blew it down right away. But why he didn't call the penalty right away, I'm not sure.
Forgot the rule?
Maybe he forgot the rule as well. But you know who didn't forget it? Claude Giroux. He just stood up.
He called it.
He called the penalty.
Yeah,
it happened. Stood up.
Yelled at the official, pointed, skated to the bench.
It's just such
power play.
A mental mistake for a team that can ill afford them in the Florida Panthers. And then you knew the Ottawa was going to score in the power play.
Oh, I knew once the hammer was sent over the boards. Here we go. Great pass, right in Stützle's wheelhouse. Back of the net.
Anyway, just I don't know what you would even say if you're Paul Maurice at the time. Like afterwards. He clearly just didn't know the rule.
Ah, this gets me going.
This gets you going?
I love hearing this sound. In the rink.
Okay. I thought it would have been song number two.
No. Well, power play.
Was that the guy at the rink or you?
I think that was the guy at the rink.
Right. I mean, they sounded...
Can you play... Du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du.
Easy, AJ.
All right. It's past 2:54. If you don't have your text in by now...
Oh, I forgot about that.
If you don't have your text in by now... sorry, but we will do it again in the next hour and give away some more tickets to the 67s and the Oshawa Generals round number one. But I'm sure Matt Conesvita will now go through the texts and randomly select somebody who told us that Colin McKenzie will join us just after 3:00. Goaltender for the Ottawa 67s. And I asked Kenny a little bit about, like, we got Colin McKenzie coming on. He's like, yeah, he's a goalie. You can ask him anything. Last time I asked him what was on his mind, he started talking about going out for wings and what kind of wings he liked. Perfect. This will be really good. Graham's just loving watching Hamonic to Stützle. In the back of the net.
Love it. Did you hear DJ Smith last night, too, when asked about that?
Yeah.
Like, explained, like, Shabbat came back to the bench, but 50-50 to return. And they asked about Hamonic, and he's like, yeah, that's going to be a one and done. So good.
So Colin McKenzie and Max Donoso did win the Dave Pinkney Trophy, the tandem that allowed the fewest goals during the regular season for the Ottawa 67. So there's a little bit of pride in I love the team aspect of that, right? Like a couple of goaltenders, both have contributed, and as a team, they allowed the fewest goals. That would be a trophy you'd be pretty happy to win, I think, and share it with a teammate.
Big time.
So
got like a 928 save percentage and
yeah.
21-2-3 record.
Let's go.
Yeah, nice tandem with Max Donoso.
All right, so you find someone yet, Matt? You can say no. That's fine.
I have.
Oh, okay.
Jennifer is our winner.
Wow!
I love Creech with the wow.
Do you guys use that when I'm not here?
All the time.
All the time. And then now We're going to have multiple prize winners today. So for every subsequent winner, we're going to get a bonus sound effect. I don't do the full, like, Graham Creech chain where you've got 17 drops.
Yeah. I only do that for Lloydie. I don't even remember.
It's pretty impressive. I just do a two-person chain. But, yeah, you'll see next hour. Because the 67's tickets giveaway is not over. The all-day giveaway. One more hour on the drive. And but yeah, we always use your Spence Diamonds. Wow.
I did think I know that or knew that, but yeah. Lee has a pretty good wow in there as well.
Not as good as yours.
Yeah, yours is better. Mine was more like, I think I nailed the Spence Diamond ad.
Yeah.
But your wow was, I think it was the Stokely call. Yes. And it's, I love using that.
Well,
is that on your page?
No, I think I just have it. I don't think it's on in Wide Orbit.
Oh, so we'll have to use yours in the Spence Diamond commercials.
Well, I could tell Matt where it's found.
Well, you won't have time in this break because Graham Creech coming back with what you need to know. And then Colin McKenzie, goaltender for the Ottawa 67s, will join us. Ian Mendez will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Already through 1 hour and three more glorious hours to go here on The Drive on TSN 1200.
Wow!